All right, open up your Bibles with me. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. That's where we want to start out. But I want to just talk just a little bit. You know, we do live in a society that it seems I saw a little thing on Facebook today. It talked about, you know, like most likely wherever you're eating at, and especially like you go to barbecue or whatever, a lot of times that meat's been slow cooked for hours and hours and hours. Took, you know, sometimes 24 hours, 12 hours, whatever they do to do theirs, and to prepare that, you know. And then you look at the sides, you know, it takes a lot of time to prepare the sides, you know, and stuff. But we live in such a fast food society that even when we go somewhere and we want a steak or we want, you know, how many likes their food hot? I do, right? And so, you know, you don't want to go somewhere where they made your steak 2 hours ago and they're just going to throw it in the microwave or something like that. You want to go there where they're going to throw it on there. You have to wait for that to cook. You know, but we live in a society now that everybody just wants to, they want it right now. You know, you can't make it right now at home, but they want it right now. Right? It's what it seems like, you know, and just everybody's, they don't have patience. Well, you know, if I can't get what I want when I want it as quick as I want it, then I'm going to leave or whatever. And, you know, we have to be careful about that and understand that there's things that goes on behind the scenes maybe you don't even see. Right? And a lot of times, you know, we get to this place and we just feel like it's got to be now. But, you know, you can go without food. Do you realize this? You can go without food for about 8 weeks. You can live without food for about 8 weeks. Think about that. So you're not going to starve to death when they get there. I know you might feel like it sometime, but you're not going to. Okay? You can live only 3 to 5 days without water. Why? Well, because our body is about 60 to 70% water. You know, so our body's made up of a lot of water. You know, this body is now. But here's the thing. The real you is 100% spirit. 100% spirit. That's who the real you is. And so look here in Matthew chapter 5. And let's look at verse 6 here. Matthew 5 and 6. And let's read it. It says, blessed. Everybody say blessed there. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. See, here's the thing, folks. It's time for us, and we've got to redirect our appetites. We've got to make sure that we're looking toward the spiritual things, the spiritual side, so that we can be thirsty for the things of God. It just seems like we've gotten so caught up with the things of the world that we're not thinking about the things of God. And the things of God's got to be first and foremost on your mind. I'm going to tell you that this life comes with all kinds of ups, all kinds of downs, happy times, upset times, joy times, mad times. Comes with all kinds of times, but through all that, Jesus said, I'll never leave you or I'll never forsake you. So we always seek the Spirit of God first. We've got to make sure that our appetite is after Him and then just let everything else fall in line. Jesus said, seek ye the kingdom of God first and His righteousness and all these things will be added to you. See, and so we've got to understand that. In Psalm 42, here's what it says. It says, as the heart panteth after the brooks, after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Notice this. He said, I'm like a deer that's looking for, one translation says that, like a deer that's running, looking for a stream of water, that's after a stream of water. He said, that's the way my soul is coming after you. We need to understand that we do need God more than we need the very air that we're breathing. We need His Spirit more than the very air that we're breathing, okay? You know, and He's talking about the deer here, you know, wanting that water, trying to find that water. You know, it's hot out right now. So have you watched your animals when they get out? Man, I'm telling you, those dogs, their tongues are laying out and lagging out because they don't have any way to cool themselves except off that tongue, you know. And so they want to get into some water. They want a drink or whatever. But here's the thing. You can lead we've heard this a lot, but you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. See, you can come here and we can give you word, but I can't make you take it in. these preachers that come up here and preach, they can't make you take it in. It's up to you whether you'll receive the word or not. You see, it doesn't matter. You say, well, yeah, but I don't particularly like whoever that preacher is or whatever. Is it still the word? If it's still the word, then the word is the word. Come on now. See, the word works. The Bible says even it's preached by pretense. In other words, a pretender, somebody that's not saved, can be giving you the word and it's still the word. Think about that for just a minute. So it's the word. And so, you know, even though you're here, and maybe I'm not preaching. Some of you like to hear me preach better than anybody else. I've heard that. Well, I'd rather hear preachers than anybody. No, you know, that doesn't matter. You need to hear from different people. You need evangelists to come in. You need prophets to come. You need the fivefold ministry in operation, hearing from all of them, you know. And they're all going to give you the word, and it's going to be the same word I'm going to give you. You know, and I understand different people like to hear different preachers better. I get that. But we always must be thirsting after the word, no matter who it is that's giving the word, making sure that we're after that. And so he says here, I'm just like that deer that's after water. That's how my soul goes after the living God. I want God more than anything else. So we push this thing because I don't want us to be like other church folk. Don't get mad at me about this. I don't want our church to be like other church folk. I don't care. They talk about us. It don't matter. They're going to talk about you. They've been talking about us since we've been here. And it's just been one thing or another. Just whatever they can find that comes along, they're going to talk about it. I've been talked about more than the rest of you. I want you to understand that. You know, from the very first Cadillac that I bought off of Graham Martin used, you know, the church bought. That's where the church's money goes to. All their money goes to. They buy them the big Cadillacs. I had to borrow the money to get that. Actually, at one point there, when Pastor Ed and I first started out, we had a minivan, and we sold that minivan, took the money from that, plus we took, in order to go full-time, we had to take out my 401k so we'd have some money to live on, and that was part of what we bought our first Cadillac with. Okay? We paid for that, not the church. Amen. So you've got to understand that. And well, yeah, but you had some others. I sure did. And you can ask these guys right over here. They're the one rebuilding, Scotty. They'll tell you that it didn't come from the money, it didn't come from the church. And by the way, these guys blessed me real well, always gave me a good price on that, and I appreciate that. But we always got talked about it. You know, that's where all the money goes to. You know, they've at one point there they said, well, you know, we had holy goats in the church. Come on, you remember that? Had a pool in the church because we had pool tables back there. I mean, people love, they love, do you understand? People love to talk. But you cannot let that talk hinder your spirit, man. Because the only thing that can hurt your spirit is you allowing that to get into it. What you have to do is tell people, you know, listen, you can say what you want to, but I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him. Is that mine going off there? Okay, sorry about that. I forgot to silence it. Just ring, ring, ring. Whoever it is, tell them I'm in church. They can come and visit me if they want to. Come on. Hallelujah. But it's always going to happen. So here's the thing. I don't want to be like other churches. I don't want to just lay back and just go to church and not have any spiritual excitement in my life. I don't want our preachers to just come up here and just read a few scriptures and just talk about it a little bit and not have any spirit about it. Come on. I the Spirit of God is what drives the church. Amen. He is the one that directs and guides the church. Without Him, we might as well just have a social club. Okay? And so that's why we push so hard. That's why we're always urging you. Whoever gets up here is urging you to read more, pray more, get into the Word more about things and study more and stand up and confess and believe and use your faith to bring things to pass in your life. Why? Because, you know, other folks don't do that. It's the truth. You know, we're a Word of Faith church, and there's not many Word of Faith churches around here. Most of them are just traditional churches. What's traditional mean? That means they just go with whatever tradition the church has always went with. Can I tell you, we serve a changing God. Now, I understand He changes not, but the way He does things does change. And there's moves of the Spirit of God, and that if you're not spiritually aware, you'll miss out on those moves. And so it's very important for us to stay tuned into the Spirit of God, to be thirsting after the Spirit, and not worry about what... Please understand, what somebody else says or somebody else does is not going to have one bearing on your spiritual being with God. It's not going to have one bearing on whether you go to heaven or not. Come on now. So let them do what they want to. Let them say what they want to. Most of the ones that talk don't even know God. And if they, even if there's some of them that say they know God, they don't know God, or they wouldn't talk, because they would understand that gossip is as bad as anything else you do. It's a sin just like everything else. So if they're gossiping, they're living in sin. You understand that? Be no different than them living with somebody. Come on now. They're shacked up with gossip. They're shacked up. Come on now. I want you to see this. See, because it's a shame that it's that way. But especially with social media, and then it's hyped up 100 times. Used to be things was word of mouth. Now somebody just gets on there and puts something. And people don't care what they put on there. They don't care whether it's true or not. But if what matters is whether you believe the lie or not. Come on now. If you believe the lie, then you've bought into it and you're in trouble. You remember the king that believed the lying prophets. What happened to him? Ended up dead. Come on. So don't believe them. Don't believe all that. Don't worry about any of that. We're not a church that's a church of normal. Come on, we're not a church of church tradition. We are a church of the Word of God. The Word of faith. We believe the Word. We have faith in the Word. We believe God is not a man that He can lie. God can never lie. We believe His Word is 100% true. We believe every word in it. Come on, and when we believe that, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be marked as awkward. Peculiar, the Bible would call you. Come on now. Why? Because you believe the Word of God. Remember, the Word says people think it's peculiar because you don't act like you used to. Well, see, when you mature in the Word of God, you're not the same person. Come on. You know, Pastor Ed and I are talking about all the time about how much Lillian has changed from the time she was small up to now. Well, you know why? Even though it's Lillian, she's not the same person. She's growing up. She's maturing. And it just blows our mind how much she is maturing. Well, you see, as a child of God, it's the same way. You've got to grow up. Paul encouraged people, the Christians. He said, you've got to get off the milk and get on the meat so that you can grow up. You see, and growing up means you become more spiritually aware. And so you understand situations and circumstances more. You understand when the Spirit of God's moving. And you can see and sense things in the Spirit that other folks can't. And they don't understand that when you tell them that. And they're just like, you know, it's been a little while now, but I was part of some things. And just in my spirit, man, things weren't right. You know, and I thought, well, I can't do this because it just ain't right. It's not settling right in my spirit. And so I kind of backed away from that. And then later on, things went, you know, pieces. And I was glad I wasn't there at that time. But you see, I listened to the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, eyesight, people have thought, well, what's the matter with him? You see, they thought I was kind of particular or peculiar because of that. But, you know, in the long run, I see how God was directing me and directed me away from some things. You see, and he'll do the same thing for every one of us. We just have to watch. We have to be aware. We have to know what the Spirit's saying. And make sure that we're listening to what the Spirit says, not what other people say. Listening to what the Spirit says, not even what you think. Did you hear me? You can let your thinking absolutely mess you up. We'll talk about it here just in a little bit. But we want to make sure that we're... I just don't want to be just a normal, everyday Christian. I don't. I want to be an anointed Holy Ghost vessel that God can use. I want to be a witness. I want to be an example of a believer like Paul told Timothy. And that's what I want us to be, okay? You know, I don't want us... I put this down. In John 6:63, it says, "It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Okay? I'm going to tell you this. You're seeing it a whole lot now. You're seeing a whole lot of people flock to churches that are so user-friendly that they can come there and be comfortable no matter what life they're living, No matter what they're doing, they'll put them in the praise team or pulpit. Don't matter if they're living in sin or not. Come on. People that are not saved, I see it all the time. I'm part of worship groups on Facebook. And there are people, they just hire people sometimes off the street to come and do praise and worship. You see, Jesus said it's the Spirit that profits. Not the flesh don't profit anything. If it's not Spirit-led, then I don't want it. Come on now. I want everything to be Spirit-led. And so, you know, we have to make sure that we're keeping ourselves in that place. I don't want us just to exist. I want us to really live. I want us to really live. You know, Acts 17:28 says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own prophets have said, for we are His offspring." We are God's offspring. We are the sons and the daughters of God. So it's in Him that we live and move and have our being. Not in the world. Okay? You got to get a hold of that, church. This world has nothing for us. All the accolades in this world will not get you to heaven. All the accolades in this world will not bring you up higher in the kingdom of God. Only listening to the Spirit, moving in the Spirit, growing in faith in the Word of God. That's what moves you up in the Spirit. So we have to make sure that we're not just existing in the kingdom of God, but we're really living. Really living. I'm not satisfied with just knowing I'm going to heaven. Did you hear me? Thank God we're going to heaven. But if you're satisfied with that, you're missing out on everything else God's got. That's just the gateway into the things of God. You know, they talk about marijuana being the gateway drug to everything else. Well, you know, salvation is the gateway. That's what gets you into the kingdom of God. You know, wouldn't it be, let's just put it like this. And you all know I like Texas Roadhouse, so I'll just use them. They ought to send me some free stuff. Right? And I talk about them enough. But, you know, what if I go and I go in, I'm wanting a steak, and I go in to Texas Roadhouse, and I go in there to the table and just sit down. I'm in the Texas Roadhouse. I'm in the steakhouse. Right? There's plenty of steaks in there. Good baked potatoes. You can put double butter on them, makes them better. Good sweet potatoes. You're right. Cinnamon butter on them. Brown sugar. There's all that stuff in there. But you know what good it'll do me if I just go in there and sit down and don't order some of it? I'm just sitting in the building. Come on now. See, what I'm trying to say is, if we're just going to get into the kingdom of heaven, where God's got a whole lot better than steak, a whole lot better than potatoes, come on now. God's got everything that we'll ever need and the best of it. If we just get into heaven and we don't order any of it. If we talk about order any of it. Anything you receive from God, you're going to have to receive by faith. That means you're going to have to open up your mouth. You have not because you ask not. Come on. God's got everything you'll need, but He expects you, once you get into the kingdom of heaven, that by the Spirit, you're going to use your faith and begin to partake of everything He has. Everything is good in God's house. Did you hear me? I know you can go sometimes. I've been to Texas Roadhouse and get a bad steak. Brother Dees went before and get plumb mad because his steak was all gristly and what. It happens, okay? But in the kingdom of God, there ain't no gristles. Did you hear me? You can just cut it with the fork. Come on. Everything is good because God is a good God, and every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Anything you ask God for that comes from the Word of God is going to be good. But you're going to have to access it through and by the Spirit of God. And so that's why it's so important for us. We don't want to just exist, but I want to live. I want to. If you be willing and obedient, the Word says, you'll eat the good of the land. I can have the good of the land because I'm willing and obedient to do what His Word says. And that's what God expects us to. He wants us to. He wants us to have it. He would not have made it available to us if He didn't want us to have it. Now, you can go with the crowd that says this is not for today if you want to, but I'm going to go with the Word that says I can have it and have it now. Come on. Well, yeah, now I just believe some of that stuff. That's just, we're not supposed to even be believing for that. Jesus said, all things are possible if you can believe. So, you know, there's a cop-out going on that people says, well, that's not for today. And you don't want to get too excited in church. And you know what? It's an insult to God if you go to a ball game and get excited and you come to church and don't. Come on now. It's an insult to God. You go to a ball game and you're shouting and carrying on and jumping and rooting for your team. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But you ought not come to church and then just sit around and not jump and shout and root for Jesus. Come on now. What are you doing? Well, you're allowing the world to get a hold of you more than you are God. Right? Come on now. So we got to understand there's more to this thing. We are the sons and daughters of God. Go with me to John chapter 4. Let's get over there. Let me move on here a little bit. John chapter 4, verse 13. The Lord Jesus talking to the woman at the well. Jesus says this to her. He says, Jesus answered and said to her, so whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. This woman, even though she was a Samaritan, not having any dealings with the Jews, she was a smart woman. Give me this water, Lord. And the church comes in, Christians come into the house, and they don't want to drink. They come into the house and say, bless me if you can. I'm not praising on that song because I don't like that song. That's not the one I wanted to hear today. That's not the one that hits my button. You ought to come in praising Him if we didn't sing a song. Come on, because He's worthy of our praise. Come on. Thank God we've got the people we've got. I told them tonight that I think they're the best praise team in the country around here. Absolutely. We're not the best singers. We're not the best players. But our heart is after God. And I'd rather hear somebody with their heart after God as somebody that's polished as a professional musician. See, again, Spirit led. Spirit moved. And that's what we need to understand. She says, I want this water that's going to be a well in me. You see, well, I've talked about this. I talk about it all the time. Every time I get on this scripture, I talk about the fact that he's talking about the Spirit of God in you that you can draw from. A well you draw from. When things are not going very well, that's the time to draw from it. When things are going great, it's still time to draw from it. I've recently learned that I'm supposed to drink even when I'm not thirsty. Right? Come on. You know, I found out that if you don't drink, whether you're thirsty or not, you can get dehydrated. I'm afraid there's a bunch of dehydrated Christians in the church. I'm not down or out, Pastor, so I'm doing good. You don't just praise Him when you're down and out. You praise Him when you're good, when you feel good. Because the whole time that you're not praising Him, you're dehydrating. The whole time you're not drinking, you're dehydrating. I've even learned to add a little liquid IV to mine to give me a little bit more extra hydration, praise God. You know, that means, you know, maybe while you're praising God, you send in and throw up one of those shalabarando tohi prande so kurande shishi. The little tongues, a little praying in the Spirit while you're charging yourself up and hydrating yourself in the Spirit of God. Be like that woman. Say, I want this water that I won't have to thirst again for. I want it. See, that's the kind of thing where God hasn't changed. God has not changed. His Spirit has not changed. What's changing is people. And their outlook toward God and their attitude toward God. See, that's why you see in these other countries, these foreign countries, that's why you see such moves of God is because they still know they need God more than anything else. Here in America, we kind of just think, you know, well, that's what I do on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. The rest of the time, I just do my thing. No, you can't. You ought to understand. He's God 24/7, 365, or not God at all. He's not a spare tire you jerk out of the trunk when you have a flat. Come on, He's not. I mean, thank God He's there in time of trouble, but I want Him there when things are going good. to keep me out of trouble. I don't know about you, but I want him there. And so, you know, the world, notice that he said, this is not like natural water. He said, whoever drinks this water, they're going to thirst again. See, the world's water, what the world offers you, will never satisfy you. It will never say, oh, there's pleasure in sin for a season. There's things that you make you feel good for a little while, right? Come on now. You know, that feeling of having a big new car. You bought something new, or a big new house, or whatever it is you buy new. You wanted it, and you bought it. Man, you got it. Wow, I can look at this. I got it. You know, get in the car. Oh, it smells so good. And then the payment book comes. Come on now, right? You know, you build that, you know, 10,000 square feet home. You know, man, I love my house. My house is so beautiful. And then you get that big payment book. And you realize you could have lived in just a bedroom and a kitchen and have a bathroom and, right? And could have paid it off in twice the time. And you realize it's not all that that you had to have. You see? And so we got to understand that things of this world are short-lived. They're short-lived. They won't bring satisfaction. It maybe for a little bit. And then God wants you to have things. He doesn't mind for you having things. But the problem is that we've gotten to the place where we're putting things before Him and over Him. And we've got to learn that God's got to come first no matter what. Right? Come on now. So there's some things that we have to learn. Now, you know, because, I mean, I put this down because it's true. The same world that exalts you and sings your praises is the same world that'll turn on you and crucify you when they can't use you. Isn't that what they did to Jesus? Praised Him all the way into Jerusalem because they thought He was going to set up His kingdom. Thought He was going to overthrow Rome. Thought He was going to do all these things. And when He didn't do it, what'd they do? Crucify Him and give us that murderer there. We'll just go with the murderer. Just go ahead and crucify Him. Don't matter that He's done signs and wonders and miracles. Don't matter that the power of God's operated through Him. Let's just crucify Him because He's not really any use to us anymore. And that's the way they are about you. As long as they can use you, they'll use you and abuse you and throw you down. I've been trying to preach this, and it's not gospel I've been trying to preach, but I've been trying to teach this and to a lot of people that are working. You work. Thank God you work. You should work. And you should be a very good employee to that company. But here's the thing. You've got to realize that you are only a number to that company. No matter how much they praise you, no matter how much they pat you on the back, no matter how much they say, you are invaluable. We couldn't make it without you. You leave and watch what happens. Probably next day, they've already got somebody lined up that they promised a job and they'll just replace you. Your name becomes a byproduct. After you've killed yourself, after you've worked hard and tried to do. You see, that's what you've got to understand. But see, in the kingdom of God, it's not like that. The world has nothing really to give you. Jesus said, when you take of this water, it's a water that springs up into everlasting life. Come on. This is a water that you can always draw from. So when God says, you're valuable to Him. No matter what. Did you hear me? If you leave Him, you're still valuable to Him. He's just waiting for you to turn around and come back. Come on now. Isn't that what the prodigal son did when he went? When he walked away, when he come back, Father was waiting there looking down the road and ran to him and threw his arms around him. I promise you the world won't do that. Well, you used to be here, but now you're not. And you quit us and stuff. And he said, we're not going to have you back. God always receives you back. Did you hear me? God always receives you back. All you've got to do is ask Him to forgive you if you mess up. So, I want a well that I can draw from when problems come, don't you? When things start happening, things go wrong. And they will. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have troubles. I'm not trying to be doom and gloom, but let's be realistic too. Because sometimes people try to live on a cloud, but there's still going to be problems that hit you. Don't matter where you're a pastor, don't matter where you're a layperson, don't matter. Problems still, things come at you. And you need to be able to draw from that well when those problems come. Jump over here with me to Romans, and let's look here at Romans chapter 8. Let me show you something here. This will do you good. I know you know it, but I just need to remind you of it. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Listen to what Paul writes here. He says, likewise, the Spirit. Notice that. We're back to the Spirit now. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You see that? Not only does the Spirit help us in our infirmities. Now, that's not always sickness or disease or whatever. That's in our weaknesses and that kind of thing, in our weak areas. But notice there that it says that the Spirit makes intercession for us. And he does it according to the will of God. Makes intercession. What's that mean? That means he's a stand-in between for you and I. When we're praying in the Spirit, you might not know how to pray for. You might be in such an emotional state that you don't even know what you're praying or how to pray. But that's when you pray in the Spirit. That's when you begin to let that wonderful voice, that language that God gave you, you begin to pray out. And when you pray out, that prayer is the Holy Spirit praying through you. And He's praying out the perfect situation for your situation. Because He knows what the will of God is in that thing, even if you don't. He does. And so when you pray, you're praying the will of God for whatever's going on in your life. And that's what you want, right? You want the will of God done in your life. And so you continue to pray. You're drawing from that. Even though there's problems that are there, you still believe in God. I don't matter. I believe God's going to work this thing out. And you say it that way. You speak it out of your mouth. Jump over here to John chapter 7. Let's look a little bit more about the Spirit. John chapter 7. Look here what the Lord says. Again, familiar, but you need to see it. John chapter verse 37. Let me get there. I'm trying to look over and eat. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Notice this now. He says, if any man thirst, let him come to drink. Again, if you're not thirsty, you won't drink. And the Lord says, if you're thirsty, come and drink. Notice that He didn't say, just come. He says, if you're thirsty, come and drink. Water's not going to do you any good unless you drink it. Right? You can have a cup, carry it around with you. Anybody ever done that? I remember back in the day, a lot of guys, when we worked in the mines and stuff, a lot of those fellas carried coffee jugs with them. You know, they thought that was, I guess, to keep them awake or whatever. And a lot of those guys weren't really coffee drinkers. You know, and so they keep the jug with them. And they might end up in the morning drinking one cup. But then they'd take that thermos right back home, hit full of coffee. They brought it with them, but they didn't drink. Come on now. See, that's the thing about children of God. We need to make sure we're thirsty and that we're drinking. Because He says, whoever's thirsty, let him come and drink. Man, it pays to be thirsty for the things of God, because notice here, He says, let him come and drink. And then He says, now notice this, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture said. Believeth on me, as the Scriptures have said. Not he that believeth on me, as the church has said, or the denomination has said. As the Scriptures have said. You see, that's so important. So I got to be thirsty and come to drink. But I also got to believe what the Scriptures say. If I don't believe what the Scriptures say, then I'll never get anything from the Scriptures. My faith will never get me anything, because I can't believe for anything that I've not known about. And I can't speak out anything that I've not read from the Word of God and expect it to come to pass. We're going to have to use the Word of God. And, you know, if your believing doesn't line up with Scripture, then you can't expect to flow. Notice He said, rivers of living water. But I've got to make sure that my belief lines up with the Word of God. I can't just say I believe this and expect God to move. I've got to believe what God said, and then God moves. Why? Because He watches over His Word to hasten it. Not my Word, not your Word, not my belief, not your belief, but what the Word of God says. He watches over His Word. Remember when the disciples went on, the Bible says that God went with them, the Lord went with them, confirming the Word with signs and wonders. Confirming the Word. So God confirms His Word through and by the Spirit. Now, jump over with me to Romans chapter 12. And let's look at one more thing here. Romans chapter 12. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, this is verse 1, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Can I just say something here about this? Notice it says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is just your reasonable service. Your body does not belong to you. See, we need to understand that once we become a child of God, our body is not for us to do what we want to with it. I know a lot of people don't like that, but it's a fact. It's a truth. And a lot of people think, you know, well, I don't like the way my body is, or this or that or that. Listen, God made you the way He made you. Rejoice and be glad. Now, I understand that we can mess up our bodies. I'm talking about the body. We can mess up our bodies. We can eat too much. Been fat all my life. Pitiful, I get 64 years old and finally get down to my ideal weight. And I said, it's pitiful, really. It is sad. But it's true. You know, and in that process, I damaged my body. Caused diabetes, caused high blood pressure, caused cholesterol. Why? Because I didn't discipline myself to what the Word of God told me to do. Present my body a living sacrifice to God. I presented my body to cake and candy and ice cream and whatever else I wanted, right? Come on, y'all can relate to me a little bit here. Come on now. I'll talk about me, because if I said it about you, you'd get mad. I know you would. But notice, he says, it's just our reasonable service to present our bodies unto God. But then I liked verse 2 better. It says, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. Don't be like the world. Don't act like the world. Don't do like the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think about that for just a minute. We've got to allow the Word of God to transform the way we think and the way we act. You have to let the Word of God. Don't matter what you think or don't matter how you've acted, you've got to change your thinking and change your acting according to the Word of God. See, that's what's going to keep you full of the Spirit. That's what's going to keep you all hydrated up, is taking the Word of God and letting it change the way you think. Well, I mean, I've always been taught this, but it don't matter what you've been taught, what the Word say. Man, I was taught a lot of things. I didn't even go to church. But I found out that most of the stuff I'd ever heard was all lies or made up stuff or old wise fables. Right? So he says, you know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's through the Word of God. Why should I be transformed, Pastor? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Anybody want to be in the will of God? If we're going to be in the will of God, then that means we've got to change the way we think, the way we act, according to the Word of God, while we're presenting ourselves to God. See, anybody want more of God? Come on, see his hands. You want more of God? If you want more of God, see, I'm making you move a little bit, because some of you are just sitting there like rocks looking at me. Well, see, if you want more of God, what you're saying is, I want more of the Spirit. I want more of the Spirit. But you got a problem. Jesus said you can't put new wine into old wineskins. And you know what he meant by that, right? He meant you can't take that new stuff and put in that old bottle, that old leather, because that old leather's dried up. It's dehydrated. It needs to be rehydrated so that it can handle the expansion of the wine as that new wine ferments. It's got to be able to give and take as that material that's in it changes. Can I tell you something? The Spirit of God will flex you. You have to make sure that you are ready to receive more of the Spirit so that when He begins to expand you and move you in His direction, you don't crack. You don't break. You don't bust. Because I'm going to tell you something. God will challenge you with His Spirit. He'll ask you to do things your flesh does not want to do. He'll prompt you to say things that your mouth does not want to say. He'll cause you to walk up to a stranger in Walmart and say, "The Lord said for me to tell you this." Come on now. He'll prompt you to maybe go to one of those family members that you don't care much for and say something to them and talk to them and tell them that God loves them. Come on now. You see, this, when you want to talk about being led of the Spirit, when you want to be full of the Spirit, expect the Spirit to cause you to say some things maybe even some people ain't going to like. John the Baptist, when he went there, he said, "You know, it's not proper for you to have your brother's wife." Went to the king and told him that. You're not supposed to have your brother's wife. That's wrong. You think John the Baptist was looking forward to that? Because he knows the king's got the power to kill him, right? Esther didn't want to even go before her husband, the king. You know, if I go in there and he doesn't hold out his scepter and receive me, they can kill me. But her uncle said, "Maybe it's for such a time as this that we're here. I believe we're here for such a time as this. I believe New Generation Church is here for such a time as this. And it's time for us to drink up everything we can of God, to get ourselves so hydrated and so full." You know, the doctors sometimes say, "Oh, you're drinking too much water." Don't happen very often, but it does with some people that drink a lot. I want to get to the point when God says, "If I give you any more spirit, you're just going to blow up." Come on now. We ain't going to blow up, really. He's just going to keep giving it to us. Because what He wants us to do, as He fills us up, He wants us to give it out. He wants us to be a conduit that He can flow through. So when He wants to do something, He can use us to be led by Him to accomplish His will, His perfect will here on the earth. Because we've been conformed and transformed. Our minds renewed, and we're ready for God to do whatever He wants to with us. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. That's what God wants. Come on, let's stand to your feet. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord God, that You fill us up to overflowing. We thank You, Father God, that we're thirsty and we want to drink more and more of You, Father. We want You to, Father, use us then, Lord, to be able to be rivers of living water that can be given out to those that need You, Father. Those that, Father, are hungry out there that still ain't been able to hear about You. Father, we know that there are thirsty Christians, Lord, that are in places that are dry. And they need to be in a place where they can be hydrated. I ask You, Lord, help us, Lord, to be some water to them. To be able to give them the good news that You came for all of us and You want us all filled. You want us all to believe on the Scriptures as You've said. Father, help us now, Lord, to be examples of the believer. Not to exist, but to live in Christ, live in the Spirit, and You'll get glory out of our lives. And we thank You for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Anybody need us to pray with you?